welcome to this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. Once again, I've got Dr. Tim Elmore in the studio with us, and we've got a special guest calling in today. Justin Sua is the head of mental conditioning at the IMG Academy down in Bradenton, Florida. They work with student athletes, D1 athletes, professional players, several Olympic athletes as well, and they focus in on leadership and mental conditioning, as well as physical conditioning, but really takes it and puts it into a full perspective of a person, not just the performance on the field. So Tim is going to get the privilege of interviewing Justin. So Tim, why don't you take it from here?
Great. Justin, we are glad you're with us today. Thanks for carving out some time for this podcast. Would you
mind? I'm so grateful to be here.
Good. Take just a second. I am familiar with IMG, but there might be listeners to this podcast that wouldn't be. Take just a minute and share, what does IMG do? It's a pretty cool place for very talented, gifted athletes to go and stay and build their skill sets.
You're right. We like to say that IMG is the Disneyland of youth athletics, or it's not just youth athletics, of the Disneyland of sports. We're a 500-acre facility down here in beautiful Bradenton, Florida, and we have youngsters from around the world come here, and we have to play the respective sports. And we have our facilities are tremendous, a football stadium. We have a dorm where our 900 student-athletes stay, and they will go practice their sport from 7 o'clock to about 11 o'clock in the morning, and then go to school in the afternoon. And then the other half go to school in the morning, and then they practice their sport, go to school in the morning, and then practice their sport in the afternoon. And the kids here they're trained like athletes. And so not only do we want to train them in tennis, lacrosse, football, get their physical skills, but we also understand that there's a lot more than physical skills to perform the elite performer, the elite mm-hmm. athletes. And so they have nutrition classes on how to fuel their body. They have leadership classes on how to be leaders in the classroom, on the field, and outside of sports. And they also get, in my expertise, mental training. We always ask the kids, what percentage of your sport is mental? And they say 50%, 80%, 90%, 99%. And then we ask them, then if it's so high, how often do you practice your mental game? And then they have their blank stares like, oh, we don't. Well, welcome to mental conditioning class. And so in this section, we teach them how to be mentally tough and what they can strategies they can use to be mentally tough in school, on the field, and outside of sports. And so we do our best to really help the kids grow and develop, to not just be great athletes, but to be just great, great people as they grow up.
That's great. Well, that's directly the space we love to play in as well. That's where I want to camp out in this podcast, mental toughness. I'd like to step back first and just hear your angle. We're constantly sharing what we're seeing as we keep our ear to the ground in culture today with this emerging generation of students. But tell me what you're seeing. How has culture affected the young people of this emerging generation as you see it?
You're right. Mental toughness, it's a phrase that so many people speak about and is something that we discuss every single day. And our profession is trying to help cultivate this in these young student athletes and all the athletes at all levels we work with. And when I think about mental toughness, it's your ability to remain in control under pressure, under any circumstance. And also toughness is also your ability to push through the boring and the monotonous mm-hmm. and the mundane things when all of the excitement kind of wears away, to keep going when things are difficult. But what's interesting, as you mentioned, the culture does play a tremendous role in it. Not only one thing we find at IMG is kids are coming from all around the world, from Russia, from Holland, from Australia, from New Zealand, from Venezuela. And it's interesting to see not only their where they're from play a role, but also just the culture of the world in general. One thing that's playing a huge role is technology. This younger generation, because things come so fast, because the internet is fast and uploads are fast and downloads are fast, a lot of times they try to take that into sports. And they say the coach teaches them a new grip or the coach teaches them a new strategy. And if the kids don't see an immediate result, sometimes they'll get frustrated thinking, okay, it's supposed to happen now. It's supposed to happen now. And the bigger sports get, the more competitive things get. And the kids tend to look and compare themselves and only measure by results. Mm-hmm. We live in a very results-laden world where it's the bigger, stronger, faster. And a lot of times it's hard to land the message of focus on the process when it's the results, that the people who are getting the results who are getting praised. And so we find ourselves really trying to train these young athletes to focus on the process, focus on the process, but a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, that's the phrase we commonly use when we're working with athletes. It's value in the process more than the product, but everything around them seems to be screaming, what's the bottom line? A few years ago, I think it was one of the managers of the Atlanta Braves minor league system was talking about working with a young player, just changing his swing. And the player took three cuts at a ball and said, this is not working. And the manager said, I wanted to scream at him, it's going to take 3,000 cuts for you to get this. But that would be that he's a product of the culture. So we've got to step back and say, all right, what do we need to do to get him up to speed and get him where they need to go? Justin, I want to ask you specifically about the issue of resilience. This is something I hear faculty, coaches, youth workers, and certainly parents talk about today. It seems like resilience is diminishing among kids, and I don't fault them. I think they're, again, products of this emerging generation. But as someone who works with mental conditioning, talk about the importance of resilience and what you're seeing that we're going to need to do to perhaps recultivate it in the minds of our kids.
That is a great topic, because a lot of times a quote that I love to share is I love the quote, not necessarily condone all of his actions, but Mike Tyson gave a great quote that says, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mm. I love that quote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of these young athletes we work with are going into matches and going into games and going into school with the right intentions. The intention, I'm going to have a positive attitude. I'm going to do what I practice. I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'm going to do my best. And then at the first sign of adversity, everything's out the window. They revert to their bad habits. Yep. And then at the end of a match, at the end of a game, they come back and I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what happened to me. And one thing that we train and we help them understand is that you will always revert to your dominant habits under pressure. Mm-hmm. You will always revert to your dominant habits under pressure. And so it's one thing to just talk about being resilient, but what is it that you can do to cultivate this resilience? And I think something that can really help these youngsters develop this resilience is helping them frame it before it happens.
Yeah.
Helping them understand how they're going to be judged. I think that is so important, because if a coach goes through a drill or a kid goes in this, their natural response way to judge is, am I doing better than that other person? Am I doing better than him? Am I doing better than her? When in reality, it's no, the best way to judge might be your effort level. It might be the best way to judge is, are you doing the technique? And what happens is they just have a lot of young athletes, if they're not trained, if they're left to judge by themselves, they might be judging incorrectly. And rather than looking at results, they might be progressing, but their eyes are fixed to the person on their left and their right, and they're like, man, I'm not that good because that person's way better than me. Mm-hmm. And I think helping them understand that, yes, judging correctly in this class or in this drill, we're going to judge your technique. In this drill, we're going to judge your effort level. And coach is really helping with that, and parents for that matter. Another way I think that can really cultivate mental toughness is to help these kids understand how hard the task is going to be and how long it's going to take to get better.
Up front.
They have a lot of youth have a very false sense of understanding of the work that it's going to take to get better.
Yeah.
And they underestimate how hard it's going to be and how long it's going to take. And at the outskirt, when a lot of my kids set goals or they have things that they want to achieve, I always ask them, I always say, is this something, how hard is this going to be? And if they say it's going to be easy, I'm always like, okay, well, let's take a step back, because if it's not easy, then what's going to happen? Oh, then I might give up.
Yeah.
Actually happened with the tennis players working with a little bit ago. We were sitting down and getting ready to go into a tournament. And I asked her, I said, okay, let's walk through our pre-match plan and our strategy. And she goes, oh, I don't need to, coach. I said, what do you mean you don't need to? She goes, oh, this girl's going to be easy. I was like, okay, and I'll change her name. It's not Sarah, it's Sarah. I said, we've talked about this. She goes, no, really, I beat her all the time. This one's going to be easy. I said, Sarah, let's go over your pre-match plan. She goes, I'm sorry, I don't have time. Let's not do it. Okay. And so obviously, I'm not going to force her to do anything. She goes out, and I watch her in the tournament. Very first game, she's struggling, and she just crumples right from there. Her expectations were it's going to be easy, and her resilience ability to fight went right out the window because she was expecting it to be easy. So helping the kids understand how hard it's going to be, how long it's going to take, I think that would be something that's huge to help these kids develop resilience. There's a lot of things, but those are the first two that really jumped to my mind.
These are great thoughts you're sharing, Justin. In fact, you reminded me of Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. Do you remember in that he has one section where he talked about the Stockdale paradox? When he was a prisoner of war, he said the guys that never survived the prisons of war there in Vietnam were the ones he called the optimist. And they were the ones that thought, by Christmas, we'll be out, or by Easter, we'll be out. And they had this unrealistic idea of how quickly they were going to be out. He said the guys that made it never lost hope, but they always embraced the reality, the current hard reality. And that's really what you're saying. We need to be up front with these kids and say it's going to be really hard. It's going to be worth it, but it's going to be really hard. And then they go in with their eyes open and their strength up. So that's huge.
You hit it on the head. Just to piggyback off of what you just said, we love to call it realistic optimism. There was one time I was speaking to a group of soldiers, and I was talking about being realistic optimism. And a drill sergeant raised his hand. He goes, that's false. He goes, I don't agree with that. I said, okay, sir. Okay, sergeant. Actually, yeah. Okay, sergeant. Tell me what you think. He goes, no, we need pessimism. We need to be pessimistic. None of this. Everything's great. Everything's grand. He goes, you're not going to be effective thinking like that. I said, Sergeant, what's the definition of pessimism to you? And he's like, were you just kind of being real? They should be realistic. I said, to me, a tried and true pessimist is someone who's not only is the glass half empty, but there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. That's a tried and true pessimist. He goes, I said, is that what you're saying we need? He goes, no. And I said, now I understand. I said, we're not going to be so far on the other end where all is great, all is wonderful. That rib, just being able to look at your obstacles in the face, look at how long it's going to be, how hard it's going to be, all the obstacles, and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do about it, and let's go from there. And so I absolutely love what you said. I absolutely agree.
Good. Well, Justin, I'd like to take the remaining time we have and really focus on some solutions here. You commonly talk about five strategies of how to help kids become mentally tough. I think we all agree culture's done a number on them, and maybe perhaps they're not as mentally tough as they could be or should be. So walk us through these five strategies on what parents, coaches, teachers can do to help kids be more mentally tough.
Right. These are, and we love helping coaches. We love speaking to parents as well to help them, to help this rising generation. And so the first one right off the bat is we talk about coachability and how to cultivate that, how to help these athletes be more coachable. And one thing that I heard a podcast you did, and we sing her praises over here, we use her research, and it's Carol Dweck's work on growth mindsets. Mm-hmm. And as for those of you who are listening and aren't familiar with the growth mindset, it's Carol Dweck's work is outstanding to help an athlete, or help anyone for that matter, being able to be coachable and to be able to learn from mistakes. And so basically the five things are how they respond to failure, how they respond to obstacles, their outlook on effort level, feedback, and the success of others. And so really teaching coaches to, first of all, understand that. But what we also understand is that sometimes coaches just unknowingly can just kind of push kids, their teams, towards a fixed mindset by judging on results. And so one way we help coaches, help them cultivate the growth mindset in their athletes is to praise efforts and be specific with their feedback. Praising effort and things they can control and be specific with feedback. That is something that we are seeing in research and across the board that really helps promote that mental toughness. Because once again, mental toughness is your ability to stay in control. And those who have the fixed mindset tend to focus a lot on things they can't control. They allow the weather to control them, the score to control them, other people to control them. And what I love about the growth mindset, what we love here at IMG, is how it's focused on, okay, what can I control? And coaches can really cultivate that, once again, by focusing on being specific with their feedback and focusing on effort, and things they can control, that the athletes can control, and giving praise on those things. And that's the first one that really jumps out to us.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. Talk some more about what are some of the strategies.
Number two, a lot of times we hear people say, how do I motivate my kids? How do I motivate my athletes? Well, we don't think that's the best question to ask. The best question is, how do I create the environment for my athletes to motivate themselves? And based on the research of self-determination theory, there are three components. We call them the three C's: competence, control, and camaraderie. If you help the athletes that you're working with develop a sense of competence, help them realize a sense of their perceived progression, that they're getting better. Hey, you know what? The scoreboard might not say that. The stats might not say that. But you know what? You are getting better. Look where you were before.
Yeah.
A coach whose ability to really teach the little things and help them feel they're progressing is huge. The next one is control. The less control an athlete feels, the more negative they're going to be, any human. The less control, the sense of control we feel, the more likely we are to be negative. And so a coach can enhance the control of the athlete by, hey, you know what? We know we want to do this drill or this drill. Which one do you guys want to do first? Hey, instead of saying what you're going to do for conditioning, hey, you know what? We're going to do this conditioning or this conditioning. Well, you're going to run, but do you want to do this or this? Just that little sense of choice, that autonomy, really helps enhance that motivation. And then combine it with the camaraderie component, that team building, that help creating an environment where they are together, where they are unified. And any young athlete who has a sense of competence, they feel they're in control and get along with those members on their team, that is a great recipe for success and motivation. And so that's something that would tremendous help for them. Number three, we discussed this a little bit, is providing the right frame. Dr. Heidi Grant Halverson has a phrase that we love, getting better versus being good. And always a coach can really help these athletes focus on getting better, focus on getting better. And as a coach, this should be your mantra. Every single practice, really help the kids, rather than just go out there and throw out the puck and the balls or just to start practice, really stop the kids in the beginning and say, this is the purpose of today's session of practice. This is why we're doing this. This is how we're going to be judged. Providing that framework for the kids, to provide the schema for them to say, okay, I don't need to get frustrated and worry about that I'm not better than someone. Focus on getting better and not being good. Because a lot of times when we focus on being good, we get frustrated when we're not.
Right.
So that really helps the kid. Number four, teach the kids how to fail. Adaptability is something huge here. Finding a way and helping the kids understand that they don't need their A game to succeed.
Yeah.
There's going to be days you don't feel good. That's okay.
Yeah.
Go out there and compete. There's going to be days where you might have had a bad day at school or things might not be going well. You don't have to have your A game to be successful. You can do it with your B game, your C game, your D game. Just go out there and compete. And one of the best ways we can help these kids learn, teach them how to fail, is to help them create a bounce back plan. So one thing we do is we identify for these kids all of their roadblocks, all of their obstacles. What are the hard things in your sport? Oh, when coach yells at me, when I'm sitting the bench, when I make an error. And then we identify, okay, what is something you're going to think and what is something you're going to do when that happens? Like, huh.
That's good.
Interesting. They're like, and then you say, wait a minute, what do you mean when it happens? And we ask them, you know what's going to happen again, right? They're like, yeah. And then I always ask, well, how do you normally respond? Well, I throw my helmet, I get mad, I start saying bad words, I start getting frustrated. And we say, huh, interesting. How effective, how's that working for you? And they say, it's not working too well. And so we create a plan. Expect the best, but plan for the worst. How are you going to respond when adversity strikes? And what happens is, as they practice it and practice it and practice it, they get better at responding effectively. And number five, I love number five, help them flex their optimistic muscles, the right attitude, helping them identify what is the good stuff happening. As many people know, or just we have a natural inclination to have a negativity bias. One research study showed that we say 300 to 800 words to ourselves a minute, and the great majority of them are negative.
Yeah.
And they're just, the youth are pounded with messages as you're not big enough, you're not fast enough, and sometimes we feel we can't measure up. But if you as a coach, if coaches could help them identify what's good, what's some good stuff happening, it's so neat. Every session we have here at IMG, when we start off, okay, what are some bright spots related to your sport or anything?
That's good.
Oh, my cat gave birth to kittens. Oh, I saw my dad. Really working on flexing that optimistic muscle, because the research on optimism and having an optimistic mindset, it helps. Pessimism never breeds peak performance.
Yeah.
So we're training that optimistic muscle.
Good.
So those are the five.
Outstanding. I mean, they all make sense. because I can see where they lead. You know, it's an action that may be hard right now for a parent or a coach, but in the end, it just produces a great young person and specifically skilled athlete. It's fabulous.
You hit it.
Well, so you practice this with all levels of athletes down there, but you also work with Olympians. Let me just kind of wrap this thing up. What difference do you see in Olympic athletes when compared perhaps the novice that might come to you that's just now just wanting to get good at a sport?
Their ability to deal with failure, hands down, their ability to refocus after distractions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is incredible. My office right now, I'm looking out my window and I'm seeing elite tennis players play right now. And there was one day where I went to watch my novice tennis players play. And I'm listening, I'm hearing all the complaining. I'm hearing all the, do we have to's? I mean, just like any other youngsters do.
Yeah.
And as we were when we were younger, oh, I want to do this. And so they come into class in the mindset training and I heard them complaining. It's too hot. It's how can we practice out here like this? It's a very unique opportunity we have here at IMG to show kids. Okay, and I asked a question, how many of you want to be a professional tennis player? Every single hand went up, and I thought so. And so I said, let me go show you what professional tennis players practice like. Mm-hmm. Right outside my office, I'm looking right now at all our professional tennis players who are practicing, and me and my little guys who are fifth and sixth grade, we go and we stand around the court, mm-hmm. and we sit there and we watch. And we watch. I said, all you're going to do is watch and observe. And we're going to go back to their room, mindset room, and we're going to discuss this. So they watch, and it was interesting. One of the pros was not practicing very well, double faulting, missing shots, not doing very well at all. And he was also doing the exact same drills that the kids were complaining about earlier that they had to do.
Yeah.
We come into the room. I said, what did you notice? They're like, wow, it's really quiet. I said, how much complaining did you hear? He said, we didn't hear any complaining. How frustrated did you see the professional tennis player get when he kept double fault and missing into the net? And they're like, it didn't even look like he was angry. I said, that's what we need to get, controlling yourself when you fail, developing that. And that came with practice. Absolutely. And so that's some of the biggest, their ability to refocus after mistakes and how they deal with failure and to keep staying motivated. Stay focused when adversity strikes. That's the biggest thing that we see.
I love it. This is so rich and something that every one of us, for our own lives, much less the next gen that we're working with, can put into practice. In fact, the line came to my mind, Justin, as you were talking. I use this line on my own kids as they were growing up. I would always say, discipline yourself so somebody else doesn't have to.
Isn't that great phrase?
That's good for us in midlife, though, don't you think?
It's so true.
Crazy. I want to wrap this up. I'm so grateful that you took some time to do this, but you have done a book, and you've got another one coming out, but the book that's presently available is Parent Pep Talks, The 10 Mental Skills Your Child Must Have to Succeed in School, Sports, and Life. This sounds like really an amplification of the short conversation we just had, so I want to recommend this book to all of you who are listening. Whether you're a parent, coach, teacher, whatever, but you've got young people around you, this is going to be critical for you to begin to practice these kinds of things with the next gen. Justin, thank you so much. We're going to have to do this again, but thank you for taking some time and sharing your insights with us today.
Such a pleasure, Tim. Thank you so much. And we are, like I told you, we are huge fans of your work, and we implement, we listen to your podcast, and we try to implement your teachings here with our kids as well. So thank you so for all the great work you guys are doing.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. As you were listening to Justin, I don't know if you picked up on some of the practice techniques that they have to where they actually give the students and the athletes options for how they want to practice. So do they want to do 200 double unders or do they want to go run 2 miles? So it's giving them options to feel like they have control over the situation a little bit more. We've always said here at Growing Leaders that students help to support what they help to create. And so as you're listening, you may feel like you possibly need to adjust the way that you're leading students. We have our National Leadership Forum coming up in June, June 19th and 20th here in Atlanta. And it's about adjusting the sails, correcting our course in student development, and charting a new course in the classroom. So if that's something that interests you to learn some better ways to lead students, we're going to have leaders from the athletic world as well as from the educational world, helping us diagnose and come up with practical ways that we can help to better lead the students. We have a special price right now that's going to be increasing at the end of February, so you want to make sure you get signed up for that. You can go to our website, growingleaders.com, and then search for National Leadership Forum and get signed up there. Well, until next time, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast.